Apple recently made an update to their operating system that has a number of different advertising agencies up in arms. We'll give you the details. Plus, comments are a great way to build engagement on your website. The question is, what type of commenting system should you use and why? We're going to cover that today on The Notable Show.
It's the program that makes creating and growing an online business fast, simple, and even fun. You're listening to The Notable Show.
Hello and welcome to the program. My name is Thomas McGee and this is The Notable Show, the show that's here to help you create an online business that's truly notable. Okay, so comments are a great way to build engagement on your website. So whether you have a blog and you write articles regularly, or whether you have a podcast or you do videos or something of that nature, any type of content that you create that is hosted on your website, it's great to give people the opportunity to be able to leave feedback and to interact with you and to really just start a conversation. So over the course of the last, I would say about 5 to 10 years, commenting in general seems to have tapered off a bit. I think a lot of that has to do with the conversation being driven elsewhere, places like Facebook and Twitter and all sorts of external third-party mediums. But I don't think that the need for commenting is completely gone. Now, there used to be this kind of rule of thumb or this thought that you could comment on blogs and link back to your own site in order to kind of build your own traffic and that sort of thing. I think those type of practices are long gone, but the idea of interacting and engaging is not. So today I wanted to take some time to talk a little bit about commenting in general, creating a little bit of a comment strategy. It may be for your particular online business, commenting isn't really even necessary, but it's still something that you might want to consider. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, but more specifically, what type of commenting system you should use. So I'm going to cover 3 main different types of commenting systems that are going to help you manage, moderate, and maintain all the commenting on your site. But before we get to that, I'm really excited to introduce to you a new segment that I'm actually going to introduce to the Notable Show called Notable News. So Notable News is just where I'm going to highlight a particularly pertinent piece of news that has something to do with online business. Sometimes it might be just something that's interesting or something that's changing in the industry, but I want to take some time each week to tackle some sort of news article, something that is kind of worth knowing, and I'll just kind of keep you in the loop. So obviously, this isn't really going to be breaking news. So a lot of the articles that I'm going to be sharing or news stories that I'm going to be sharing are things that have taken place a little while back. Some of that has to do with my publishing schedule with The Notable Show. Some of that also has to do with things are constantly changing and new articles are coming out all the time. So sometimes going back a month or even two is worth doing, especially as a lot of new facts surrounding a story come to light. I think this is a little bit off the beaten trail of the topic of this particular episode, but one of the problems with, in my personal opinion, with a lot of news is that the story is, or the point for most journalists or most media sources is to be first, not necessarily to be correct. So I'm going to do my best to make sure I have all the facts straight. But at the end of the day, it's just useful information to know, things to be aware of as you're building your online business. So without any further delay, let's get to today's notable news.
Headlines from around the globe. It's time for your weekly notable news.
Okay, so there's a story out of The Guardian that came out a few weeks back, which is highlighting something that has a number of different advertising agencies up in arms. So what it is that recently Apple did a rather large change to their OS, their operating system, which made it extremely difficult, if not impossible, for a number of these different advertising companies to track users. So if you're not aware, a lot of advertising companies use the information that is stored in your browser, known as cookies, to actually track everything that you're doing. So the different sites that you're visiting, the places you're going, your behaviors on the web, they're tracking and storing all of that information so that they can use it to advertise to you. So if you ever wonder, you know, you go to one site and then you leave and you go to another site and you see a banner ad that, you know, links to or is advertising a site you were just at, you know that's because they're tracking you. So Apple, in their changes to Safari, which is their built-in web browser, really cracked down on that. So the reason that these particular advertising companies are up in arms is because it is now literally costing them millions of dollars. So here's a quick snippet from this article in The Guardian. It says, advertising technology firm Criteo, I think is how it's pronounced. I apologize if I'm pronouncing it wrong. But one of the largest in the industry says that the intelligent tracking prevention, ITP feature, for Safari, which holds 15% of the global browser market, is likely to cut its 2018 revenue by more than a fifth compared to projections made before ITP was announced. With annual revenue in 2016 topping $730 million, the overall cost of the privacy feature on just one company is likely to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. The general manager of this particular advertising agency said that this would impact the industry more widely. So the article goes on. There's a lot of different quotes from some of these different advertising companies and some of the CEOs and executives who are saying that in essence, it's destroying their business, that Safari needs to kind of rethink this and make it easier for advertisers to essentially get information from users. So there's a little bit of an interesting kind of dynamic going on here. And part of the reason I wanted to bring this story up is because it's an interesting teachable moment in the sense that where the focus is being placed here. So a lot of what Apple is doing with these privacy features from their perspective is they're trying to make a more user-friendly web experience, right? I mean, if you were asked the question, do you want a company you know nothing about storing and collecting your information so that they can advertise to you? So I'm going to guess the majority of people out there are going to say no. So the argument then from a lot of these advertising companies is, well, hey, you're destroying our business. But see, there's the thing. The whole point of a business, for any of us who are creating an online business, the whole purpose and point is to actually solve problems and to meet needs, right? There's things, our products and services that we create are there to actually solve people's problems. They're not things that we foist upon people or things that we kind of manipulate people with or trick people into. They're actual things that they voluntarily pay money for to make their lives better. So there's a lot of different ways you could kind of come at this. If you listen to my previous episode where I talked all about website pop-ups, I think you're probably going to know where I personally come down on this, which is that it's not Apple's job to make it easier for you to collect information on people. It's not Apple's job to, you know, keep your industry intact. In fact, it's your job as an advertiser to find more creative ways to make money. So more creative ways to serve users and to monetize websites. And I think this is part of the problem that you'll see not only with news websites, but with a lot of sites out there today. The focus is on the website, right? This is why you have all these pop-up banner blocker things showing up like on different news websites that say, please disable your pop-up blocker or your ad blocker before visiting the site. It's find a creative way to monetize a website rather than just making it harder for the user. So at the end of the day, there's like I said, there's definitely a back and forth. I recommend you check it out. It's just interesting, if nothing else. But the teachable moment, the thing you can kind of take away from this is rather than trying to force users or force people in a certain direction, try to find ways that you can actually meet their needs. So a lot, what's interesting about this article, as you kind of go through it, is that these advertising technology companies are spending millions of dollars and hours and manpower trying to find ways to get around Apple's technology. And in fact, they succeeded a little bit earlier on an earlier release of this new technology. When it's so amazing, it's like just take a little bit of time and effort and energy that you are applying to trying to sneak around these new privacy things and innovate, find a better way to monetize website traffic. So anyways, innovation and finding new ways to serve people is always going to pay off better than trying to hold on to old archaic ways of, you know, trying to trick users or monetize their website history. Okay, so that's pretty much it. Go to notableshow.com/8, where I will leave a link to that in today's show notes. And now on to today's notable tool.
Useful for any stage of online business, it's time for your weekly notable tool.
Okay, so today's notable tool is something that I think just about every WordPress website should have. So it is a WordPress plugin. It's totally free, and it's called Yoast SEO. And so it is basically just a SEO plugin. It is extremely easy to use. And like I said, it's totally free. Now, they do have a premium version, which does some extra special stuff. But I would highly recommend this, especially if you are doing blog posts. Because what it's going to do is it's actually going to walk you through step by step on every single page and post and piece of content. It's going to walk you through specific things that you can do to optimize your content to make it, to give it a higher likelihood that it's going to be picked up by Google. Now, there are a ton of factors and variables as to what it means to rank high in Google. About 90% of the time, if somebody comes to you and says, I can get you, you know, the number one spot or number two spot on Google, they're probably not telling you the truth. But there are some things that you can do to enhance or increase your chances. Now, this doesn't include stuffing every article with 500 keywords or anything like that, but there are some really basic steps that you can take to ensure that, your likelihood of ranking better is increased. So you can check this out. Again, today's show notes is at notableshow.com/8. I've got a link to it. Highly recommend you check it out. Go through and see some of the features that they have built in. Not only do they have per content optimization options that you can do, you can also do site-wide things from changing your archive pages and changing the meta information that's included that shows up in Google. So it's worth taking the time. It really doesn't take that much time to go through and optimize your site and your content, and it's gonna pay in the long run to go through and to just take this extra step as you're creating content. So again, check that out at notableshow.com/8.
Never miss a thing. Go to notableshow.com to get email updates of the latest episodes, free resources, and more.
Okay, so on to today's main topic, which is comments. So the first question to ask is whether or not you want to actually undertake the concept of having comments on your website. So there's a lot of benefits to it. It's kind of a call to action. I know Jeff Walker does a really good job every single time he creates a new YouTube video. He always says at the end, scroll on down, leave me a comment, let me know what you think. And it's a great way that he engages with his audience, shows once again that they're engaged, that they are following what he's saying. He gives them social proof so people can see all the people who are big fans of what he's creating. So there's a lot of benefits to doing it. Now, at the same time, sometimes it may just not fit into your particular content strategy. Maybe the type of content that you're creating is very much more, action-oriented. So rather than somebody leaving a comment, you know, giving some response to what you're saying, maybe there's particular steps they just need to go and do, in which case there's not necessarily, the need of actual comments or a dialogue there. Or maybe you just don't have the time. Maybe your time is just better spent elsewhere rather than replying to a lot of comments. It just kind of depends. It depends on your strategy, how you want to handle it, and particularly what market you're in as well. Sometimes, depending upon how controversial your particular market is. Maybe it's just more hassle than it's worth to keep up with the type of comments that come in, that sort of thing. I think in any industry that you're in, you can always end up with the type, you know, the trolls, the people who are there kind of to cause trouble. But in most industries, it's not really a huge problem. And again, there's typically some moderation tools that you can use. But for most cases, people who like to write articles or blogs or do podcasts or videos, comments are not a bad idea. They're, like I said, they're a great way to engage with your audience. They're a great way to start a community and to keep a conversation going. So something I had mentioned earlier in the show is that, you know, commenting isn't quite what it used to be. I can remember it was not uncommon for them to receive on just about every article anywhere from 50 to 100 comments. And so they would get a lot of different comments for every single article. And that was just kind of the way the web was early on, right? So people would just, it was just kind of normal. In fact, it was really like an average thing for people to jump in there and leave like a comment that said nothing but first. So like, I'm the first commenter, right? That's not quite happening as much as it used to. Because like I said, things like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter have kind of taken that over a little bit. So a lot of people are interacting more within Facebook and within Facebook communities. But again, it doesn't mean that you cannot still start your own community on your own website. And there's a number of different advantages to this. Namely, having it on your own site is a great way to be able to showcase that you do have your own community and that you are not necessarily reliant upon a third-party service to curate or to, you know, to get eyeballs on the content that you're creating. Okay, those things aside, it's important once you kind of nail down your content and your commenting strategy, it's important to know what you are going to use to actually implement those comments. So there's three main tools I wanted to recommend today when it comes to enabling comments on your website. So as you probably well know, I always recommend WordPress for your website and managing your content. So these are going to be specific to WordPress. Okay, so the first is just the native built-in WordPress comments. So these are great. They work. They're a great place to start. It depends on how many comments you're receiving. If you're receiving a really high volume of comments, you know, anything maybe over 50, sometimes it's a good idea to explore other options. But if you're just getting a few comments here and there and you're responding to them, just using the built-in WordPress comments works just fine. Now, one of the issues that tends to come up from time to time when using WordPress comments is spam. There's a lot of different bots out there that are pretty bad about, I guess it's what they're trying to do, but they're good at crawling WordPress websites, finding the comment areas, and leaving really spammy links and pretty much automated comments to try to get you to publish them on your site so that, I don't know, for whatever reason they're trying to do this, they do this. So WordPress sites are typically targeted for this these type of spam comments. Now, fortunately, there's a free plugin that you can get and install, and I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, but it's Akismet, I think. But it's great at detecting probably about 99% of these comments and flagging them as spam. So you're going to want to make sure that you have that installed. It's going to do a really good job to make sure that it is stopping those comments. Again, WordPress comments are a great place to start. There are some limitations, but they do work really well as kind of a starter. Number two is something called Disqus, and it's spelled D-I-S-Q-U-S. And I'm going to leave a link to all these different tools and resources in today's show notes. So feel free to check that out if you'd like to go through and explore some of these options. But Disqus is great because it's really easy to plug and play. They have a WordPress plugin that you can just install and connect your Disqus account. But the nice thing about Disqus is just about everybody has a Disqus account. I won't say everyone, but a lot of people have a Disqus account because a lot of blogs and sites use it for their commenting. So what that means is that there's a higher likelihood that somebody is going to leave a comment. There's less of a path of resistance to leaving the comment there. For example, if somebody is going to leave a comment using the standard WordPress commenting system, they have to fill out their name, their email address, and then their comment. And it's just statistically shown and borne out time and time again, the more information a user has to provide prior to taking action on something, the less likely they are to complete it. I know it doesn't sound like a lot of extra steps to fill in two fields, but trust me, it does make a difference. Now with Discuss, if somebody has already created an account on Discuss, which again, a lot of people have, they don't have to do anything. They just see the comment box there, they can type in there and leave a comment. So it works, it's got a higher conversion rate on average in terms of actually getting people to interact and to leave a comment. Now, somebody recently told me about a new feature that they worked into their premium version. So they do have a free version that you can go in there, you can install on your WordPress website, create an account, and you install the actual plugin and connect the account to the plugin on your WordPress site. But they have a newer feature which enables you to capture somebody's email address. Remember, one of the things I mentioned I dedicated a whole episode to was how incredibly important it is for you to use your website to actually build an email list. So whenever somebody creates a Discuss account, they have to enter in their email address as part of the sign-up process. Now, what they recently did is they created this little one-click button thing that you could put above your comment section that you could put in some sort of lead magnet. You could say, hey, get the latest resources or tools or get my free PDF guide or something like that. And you can put it in the comments section. Now, here's the cool thing. All a user has to do if they're logged into Discuss is just click one button to subscribe to that, to actually be opted into that particular lead magnet. So rather than filling out first name, email address, and then clicking submit, all they have to do is click a button right there in the comment section to be able to opt in. So remember what I said previously, that the less the path of resistance to actually doing an action on the web, the more likely that somebody is to do it. So it's a great conversion tool a list building tool in addition to actually starting a conversation. The other thing that's nice about Discuss comments specifically, and this is again a question mark in terms of your particular list building strategy, or I should say commenting strategy. Discuss allows your users to upvote and downvote comments. So almost kind of like a Reddit style thing. So if somebody leaves a comment, people can go in there and actually upvote those comments. I don't think they can actually downvote the number of downvotes. I don't think it affects anything. I think people can press the down button, but I don't think it actually does anything that I know of. I could be wrong on that, but I do know that people can go in there and upvote comments. You can see which ones are receiving the highest number of upvotes. So there is that added level of interaction. So it's just a question mark as to whether or not you want that. I know the WordPress comments built in do not enable you to do that. It's just pretty much just leaving a comment and then you can respond to comments if you want to. Okay, so beyond Discuss, the third kind of comments that are pretty widely used and they're becoming more popular now are Facebook comments. So Facebook actually has its own commenting system. And this can be really useful if Facebook is a really big part of your strategy. Again, I always come back to this, building your email list is priority number one, but that does not mean that you cannot leverage social media. So, Facebook in particular, if it's going to help you with your overall strategy. So Facebook comments are nice for a couple of different reasons. Number one, as with Discuss, just about everybody has a Facebook account. In fact, a lot more people have Facebook accounts than have Discuss accounts, which means that there is nothing that they have to fill out. The comment box will be there. They're going to see their little profile picture next to the box, and they're just going to start typing, press enter or press submit, and they're going to be able to leave a comment. Now, the other thing that's nice about this is it's kind of doubles as a little way to get your content shared, and that is that there's a little checkbox right next to the actual box where people are filling out their comment that says also post on Facebook. So the neat thing is that somebody could be reading your article, go down, leave a comment, check that box, and then share their comment with a link to your article on their Facebook page. So it's a great way, again, you're building engagement, but if you've got a pretty good community on Facebook, using Facebook comments can help get your content out on Facebook among the people who are actually leaving the comments. So as with Discuss, you can they have a Facebook plugin, a plugin that you can just go and install on your WordPress website and then connect your Facebook account to it. I've never personally used the plugin. I am a WordPress developer myself, so I will typically go the route of actually using their code and building it into a website. However, they do have a plugin. I'm sure it works great, so you can test it out. But at the end of the day, it's really just a matter of determining which type of commenting is going to work best for your particular strategy. I tend to lean towards Discuss myself only because I personally, from a usability perspective, I think they're the best. And that's really important to me. Plus, they have the extra feature of being able to work in a list building mechanism, which is always great. But it just kind of depends. It really depends upon where your priorities lie within actually getting comments. And I would encourage you to take a little bit of time just to think that through, to consider where comments are going to benefit your business the most and how you can utilize them. So hopefully you find that useful. Again, I'd recommend trying out all three, or at least exploring all three, to find out which one is going to be best for you. So again, you can find links to all the different tools and resources I have mentioned in this episode over at notableshow.com/8. And what I always like to mention as well, if you ever have a question that you would like answered here on the show, you can go and record that over at notableshow.com/question. And as always, I like to ask if you're finding the Notable Show useful, go on over to iTunes or the medium of your choosing. Leave me a review. I always appreciate it. Also, make sure that you subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And until next week, go out there and build something truly notable.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the program. To review the show notes along with any links shared in this episode, visit notableshow.com. Also, please take a quick moment to subscribe and review The Notable Show on Apple Podcasts or the medium of your choosing. Thanks again for listening, and have a notable day.